BCLF Cocoa Pod is a Caribbean storytelling experience in which writers of Caribbean heritage narrate their own stories. Each story is a seed, a nugget of an original work of fiction, rich with the rhythm, pitch, and intonation of the one who wrote it. It is Caribbean storytelling told in the best way possible, in the voice of the place that gave it life, imbued with the magic and accents of the region. Cocoa Pod is an original Brooklyn Caribbean Literary Festival production.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shakira Bourne, and I write fantasy and horror books about kids having encounters with Caribbean folklore characters. My latest book, Nightmare Island, is about a filmmaker called Serenity, who follows her little brother Peace and her parents to a silent retreat on a mysterious Caribbean island, only to discover it's surrounded by duendes, faceless children with backward feet. She has to find a way to escape the island with her family before her brother becomes one of them. This book was published by Scholastic in the US, and this is the second Caribbean mythology book that they've published for me, with more to come. So here is a reading from Nightmare Island. This story may remind you of a wacky old horror film. Faceless children with backward feet, a deadly forest, and mutant rabbits. All that's missing is Frankenstein cackling in the background. But everything you're about to read is true. Give or take a few details because, after all, I am a storyteller. This is my story, but it's possibly yours too. If your parents ever visited a mysterious Caribbean island and returned with a perfect baby. However, there's one thing you and I probably don't have in common. It's a secret I've never shared with a living soul. I can hear everyone's unique soundtrack. No one knows this, but people have scores, like the background music you'd hear in a movie. For example, if I suddenly hear the sound of slow raindrops on dry leaves, I know my mom is nearby. Dad's music is similar, only his drops of rain gently drum on empty pavement. She's the pitter, and he's the patter. Maybe that's why they get along so well. My brother's music is a bit more complicated, but you'll soon understand why. Sometimes I can't hear it, and that silence scares me more than anything in the world. Take one. What's behind the door? For as long as I can remember, I've had the same nightmare. It opens in a blinding white room with nothing but silence. No birds, no crickets, no breeze. It's the sort of atmosphere my parents loved so much, they named me Serenity. A team of doctors rush into the lobby with my heavily pregnant mother on a gurney. You may have seen a chaotic scene like this on one of those medical TV shows, but in my nightmare, someone has muted the sound. My mother grimaces and clutches her belly, but even in pain, she checks to make sure her black, straightened hair is still in place. Then the chaos arrives. Enter 6-year-old me in my pajamas, screeching and twisting in my father's arms and grabbing at his perfectly identical locks. He puts me down on a hard gray couch. A shadowed person appears above me. Their blurry face twists in shades of black, looking at me with such disgust. My scream becomes a choking gurgle in my throat. And then I'm alone. My throat is raw, but I don't stop bawling. Not until a silver butterfly appears out of nowhere and flutters onto my wet cheek. Its wings tremble as it drinks my tears. I reach for the butterfly, but it moves away like a beam of light. I follow the butterfly down an empty tunnel while whistling my favorite tune, The Ants Go Marching. The butterfly floats to the floor and slips underneath a metal door with a no entry sign. A red dot blinks twice on a shiny black panel, and then I hear two quiet beeps, like a bird's chirp. The door opens with a soft hiss, a and the whistle dies on my lips as I take in the sight in front of me. And then everything fades to black. I wake up covered in cold sweat. My brain screams for me to relax. It's just a nightmare, it chants. I feel like I'm about to throw up, so I reach for the metal bowl under my bed. Once, after the nightmare, I got dizzy on my way to the bathroom and hit my head on the bed frame, so I keep the bowl there for emergencies. Luckily, the nausea passes and the sweet potato pie I had for dinner stays in my belly. I'm never able to get back to sleep after the nightmare, so there's only one thing to do. Create a monster. I turn on the light and reach for my sketch pad on the dresser. I once watched a kung fu movie where the master told his student they had to face their fear because avoiding fear increases the fear itself. That makes sense to me. But how can I confront my fear if I have no idea what I'm afraid of? I needed to see the face of the monster that haunts me. I've watched every horror movie about blood-sucking vampires, flesh-eating zombies, haunted houses, you name it. But none of them have ever made my heart leap out my chest like it does in my nightmare. So I decided to create my own monsters. And now I'm obsessed with making the scariest horror movie of all time. I want to know what's behind that door. So now I'm going to read from When Serenity First Arrives on Duppy Island. What do you do when you're lost in the woods? If you're a filmmaker like me, you take advantage of the situation, whip out your camera, and pretend you're in a found footage horror film. The thick bushes don't move in the slight wind, as if glued to one another. I hum as I hopefully venture towards civilization. My phone has to pick up some Wi-Fi signal eventually so I can find the silent retreat. The air becomes foggier, and the gray mist clings to the trees, making them look like they're wrapped in spiderweb. I'm tempted to put in my headphones to calm my nerves, but I need to hear the distant sound of cars or buses and people's music. I want to know if anyone is sneaking up behind me. It's eerily quiet. The last time I walked through a forest, the sound of the wind through the trees was as loud as a waterfall crashing onto rocks. But Duppy Island is like some distant white noise, as if I have on my parents' noise cancellation headphones. Where is the wildlife? There are no tweeting birds or chirping crickets, no sign of lizards, spiders, not even a rat, though I'm mighty grateful for that. After an hour, the ball of fear I've been suppressing threatens to burst, but I force myself to stay calm. I've researched survival tips for my various Lost in the Woods movies, and the first tip is do not panic. Keeping a positive mental attitude helps to combat stress and helps you to make better, safer decisions. I turn by two moss-covered trees that seem to embrace each other, and as I make a mental note of the landmark, the sound of the forest changes. From distant white noise to an echo of a drum? I listen closely and pivot in a circle until I determine the noise is coming from an area where the trees twist and grow close to one another. It's worth checking out, since the trees seem more alive there than anywhere else. I move toward the area, hoping to see a hotel with infinity pool balconies in the distance, and start to whistle my favorite Aunt's Go Marching tune to show my mind I'm in good spirits. Maybe a bird will answer, but something else responds with a giggle. I stop whistling and whirl around, but no one's there. The wind must be playing tricks with me. Hello? I call to the trees. No answer, but behind me there's a slight rustling in a small bush with a handful of tiny white flowers. I hear more chords in the air by the twisty trees, and When I turn to go toward them again, the bush with the flowers start to serenade me. The hurrah note in the ants go marching whistles from the leaves. And there's guitar music. It sounds like a welcome home hug after a long trip. I get the strange urge to go closer to the bush and touch the flowers. I don't understand why. Dad's the one who cares about different plants and their origins and medicinal uses. I've never thought of bushes as more than a backdrop for my frame, but my yearning is so strong. It feels like a rope tied to my wrist, pulling me closer and closer to the leaves. When I'm near enough to touch the bush with my fingertips, Eloise's warning seems to whisper through the trees, "Stay away from the bushes." I take a step back. "Is anyone there?" I call again. Nothing, not even the whistle. But I know I didn't imagine it. Maybe the clouds around the island are somehow delaying an echo. Then something rises from the bush. A silver butterfly. My lips begin to tremble and I try to scream, but no sound comes from my throat. My brain screams for me instead, and suddenly I'm back in the tunnel in my nightmare, standing in front of a metal door with a no entry sign. I stare at the butterfly, once again trapped in my fear, and my chest tightens with disbelief. The butterfly shines so brightly it becomes a blurred silver dot, and I have to squint to make out its shape. It can't be real. It can't be real. Silver butterflies aren't real. It's impossible. The silver butterfly is a figment of my twisted imagination, a beautiful symbol of the ugly thoughts in my head. But here it is right in front of me, more majestic and more terrible than in my dreams. It hovers in the air and moves in small circles like it's trying to get me to follow. "This can't be happening. This can't be happening," I whisper, and back away from the butterfly. All this time, I wanted to confront my monster. But now that part of my nightmare is right in front of me, there's no way I'm going to follow that butterfly. I move away from the butterfly and it flies into the air with astonishing speed. But when I turn to continue towards the twisty trees, it's right in front of me again. And this time it darts at my eyes. I yelp and race away from the area, half screaming, half gasping. And you can guess what happens next. I trip over a vine and land hard on my chest, but manage to protect my face with my hands. I cower on the ground, waiting for another attack from a butterfly. The realization hits me in the face with a slap. I'm running from something I could crush with a sneeze. I'm not trapped in my dream right now. This is reality, and I'm in control. With renewed confidence and a little embarrassment, I get to my feet, dust off my jeans, and check the camera equipment in my bag. I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation for that butterfly. Maybe I saw a picture of it in one of Dad's books when I was younger, and it just happened to manifest in my nightmare. I had fallen into a circle of coconut trees that shoot into the air among small shrubs, so tall I can't see the top. But these trees were planted by humans. No trees grow in a perfect circle with the exact same distance between them. After taking one last check around for the butterfly, I follow the coconut trees, pushing through several plants and bushes. The forest seems to be getting drier and drier, with brown taking over the green, though the soil gets muddier by the second. Then, after pushing away a cluster of leaves, I spy a small path through some dead bushes, just big enough for a young child to crawl through. I squeeze through the bush, spitting leaves from my mouth, and then I see a glorious sight in the distance, a towering gray fence. With a strangled sob, I race toward it. I'm finally here. I did it. My parents are going to be furious, but it's all going to be worth it when I see the excitement on my brother's face and I can get more footage for my film. I rush toward the fence, thinking about my brother's small smile, a warm bath, and a hot meal. Then, all the music in the air disappears.
Thank you for listening. Caribbean stories are like a mighty tree whose branches extend to offer shade and comfort wherever her children settle. Join us for more stories by Caribbean writers. Follow, download, and share the BCLF Cocoa Pod with friends. Until next time.